This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to another year of First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and I think we all enter 2026 with high hopes, but also with the understanding there's going to be significant challenges to work our way through. For about 30 years now, we've spent the first Friday of each month taking a look at vital environmental issues that impact our state and county. For most of our First Friday years, I've had the pleasure of co-hosting with Lisa Wozniak. She is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and with us again in 2026. And Happy New Year to you, Lisa.
Happy New Year to you too, Dave. And I do think you're right. There is much to look forward to in this coming year, but there will undoubtedly be challenges which will require a lot of work from all different sectors of our state and our county. And as we make our way through 2026, I know you and I are committed to addressing those challenges and whatever opportunities come our way on this show. So today, our guest represents much of the listening area in our state capital. Jennifer Conlon is a Democrat from Ann Arbor and serves the 48th District in the State House of Representatives. Thank you so much for joining us today, and Happy New Year to you, Representative Conlon.
Thank you so much for asking me to be here, Dave and Lisa. I'm so happy to be talking about this very important issue throughout the state, but very much so in my district.
Yeah, well, one of the biggest issues we're going to deal with in 2026 on both the environmental and economic fronts is the matter of data centers. In Washtenaw County alone, Saline Township is about to become home to a major center. There's another proposed center in Augusta Township, and the U of M and Los Alamos National Laboratory are planning a massive supercomputing center in Ypsilanti Township. They won't call it a data center, but the environmental concerns are just the same. Knowing that Governor Gretchen Whitmer is in full support of making Michigan a home to such facilities, what role do you think the state should play in limiting the environmental impacts that these centers may have?
Well, I did sign on to the letter that a lot of other representatives signed on to as well, that was sort of asking the Michigan Public Service Commission to, you know, take a look at this situation in Saline more closely and allow public hearings. But in the end, I think, as we know, that happened last week, they have approved that data center coming in, but in Saline. But they have also said that, you know, DTE must agree to absorb a financial hit if there is one in terms of the rate going up. So part of me thinks that's a bit of a compromise. I know they are trying to do things in a more environmental way. It's hard for us, and as you point out, the governor's in favor with the workforce issues we have and the need we have for, you know, innovation in our state to sort of say a blanket no to data centers. But communities have to have a say of what happens in their backyards, and I feel strongly about that, and also know exactly whether the water will be affected, whether their electricity rates will go up, and the environmental concerns have to be addressed.
So you touch on one of the key issues, which is affordability. Affordability is an issue across the board. And with the proliferation of these data centers in Michigan and here in our county, we've been told that utility ratepayers will be held harmless for the massive energy upgrades necessary to support them. What are the real assurances that we have that there's truth to this assertion?
Yes, I think that we don't really know for sure what's going to happen with these rates, and it's a big issue, as we know, for our for all everybody, including myself. I live in a multi-generational home, and my DTE bills have gone up and up and up, and in the last 15 years that I've lived here. So it's been something I've noticed personally, and I did take the utility challenge that MLCV has put forward to not accept any money from DTE or consumers, because I do feel strongly about addressing the fact that we are all paying way too much to have what should be a human right of electricity.
So how should state lawmakers balance that need for infrastructure investment with protecting ratepayers from further financial strain when it comes to our energy costs?
Yeah, well, I think that's where we've seen, you know, the MPSC coming in and trying to come up with some compromises. We're a large tent, as you know, on the Democratic side. So even though I personally had voted no against the legislation around data centers that, you know, exempted them from sales and use taxes, others did not, and that did pass. And so we do have a lot of members, obviously on the other side of the aisle as well, who believe that we need these data centers and that we need the jobs. And for construction, even though it's not a ton of jobs, but because they go up quite quickly. So I think it's going to be something we're going to be talking more and more about. And then the Selene one is one example, but now we've got a big conflict over what's happening with the data center in Ypsilanti, the University of Michigan's behind.
WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment conversation with State Representative Jennifer Conlin continues. The other voice you hear this morning is that of my co-host, Lisa Wozniak. She's from the Michigan League of Conservation Voters.
So, Representative Conlin, climate change and environmental justice are increasingly tied to economic stress for families. And so, in your view, how do these issues intersect with affordability, particularly for low-income and frontline communities all across the state?
Yeah, well, we now, obviously, I worked with Senator Chang, the last term, State Senator Chang, on the statewide water affordability program, and we did not get that over the finish line, but it's back now, and these bills would put a cap on water bills for low-income Michigan households. It would forgive up to $1,500 of an individual's water debt each year for the first 2 years of participation, and then forgive all debt after 2 years of participation. And that includes additional shutoff protections. I mean, we have got to help people, as I said earlier, having water, having heat are human rights, and we cannot have people who are low income suffering as a result of not being able to pay. And so we know that people are suffering financial stress right now because of inflation and price rises. And so this is a really important thing, I think, for us to get this done. The Senate bills right now are waiting further action on the Senate floor, and then we have some House bills, too, that would establish a structure for household income-based water billing measures. But that also, those bills also offer debt forgiveness.
It's not only access to water, it's the quality of water that we get. Contaminants like PFAS, lead, and agricultural runoff continue to threaten drinking water systems. What specific policy solutions do you think have the best chance of advancing in Lansing this year?
Well, I don't know about this year, but we have reintroduced our polluter pay, and those bills, you know, in my district, I have a lot of inland lakes. My district extends all the way up to Howell, Michigan, so I have a lot of Livingston County as well. And we had, as you all probably remember, in 2022, Tribart Technologies in Wixom had 15,000 gallons of untreated wastewater with, you know, hexavalent chromium in it that's toxic, go into the Huron River, and that was, and into the sewer system. So that meant that, you know, nobody could, it was August when they shut everything down. Nobody could go canoeing and on the Huron River. I mean, it was horrible. And in the end, Tribar only had to pay $200,000 in a criminal fine. And I think they have a 5-year probation, $20,000 in restitution. And we really need polluter pay legislation. We have, you know, put that back in, introduced it again this term, and I'm a co-sponsor, just to hold polluters accountable by requiring more thorough cleanups, making the information about sites more available, and making it easier for people harmed by pollution to seek justice. I also happen to have in my district the one farm in all of Michigan, a cattle farm that got closed down for PFAS contamination that came from you know, the kind of biosolids he used to fertilize his land that had PFAS in it. So we know PFAS is a huge problem, and I have legislation. I'm working with other legislators to have a huge PFAS package of bills that we put forward. Mine would specifically help some farmers who have been affected by this problem and help hopefully with giving them some funding to remediate the situation if it's possible.
So let me just dig into that polluter pay piece just a little bit more. Here we are on the first Friday of the brand new year. This has been an issue that has been talked about for years and years. Do you think there's actually a chance with State Senator Jeff Irwin and State Representative Jason Morgan really leading on this, right, from this listening area? Any chance in this year, in 2026, of getting this done?
Yes. I'm hopeful. I always try to be hopeful. That's my, you know, my attitude is not to be pessimistic and to work as well as we can across the aisle. I, you know, obviously we have the Republican has the majority right now in the House, but I feel like this is an issue when it comes to the environment and when it comes to our lakes and our water, and that it's something that everybody cares a lot about. So I'm hoping that we can get something done on this and work across the aisle. And Senator Irwin and Representative Morgan are very, very good at kind of doing that, and I think might help us get this legislation moved.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU, and our First Friday Focus on the Environment guest today is 48th District State Representative Jennifer Conlon. Representative, getting legislation passed, always a challenge, but even more so in any election year. And there's a lot of weight being put on this midterm election cycle. Do you expect environmental issues, particularly water quality and utility affordability, to be framed by the candidates and political parties in a manner that brings these issues to the fore?
Very, very much so. I campaign in my swing district very much on the environment because everybody does seem, it seems to be a very bipartisan issue. But affordability is also, I hope, a bipartisan issue as we see more and more of our constituents and residents, you know, Michiganders throughout the state really struggling. And as food prices go up and as your prices for utilities go up, and it's all becoming too much. And when you look at housing as well, we know we have a huge problem there in terms of people getting on that ladder who are young. And I happen to have three children in their 20s and 30s, and it's not easy to sort of try to start that grown-up living and buy a house when the prices are as they are. So affordability will be at the forefront, as will the environment. Because, again, when I talk to my children, they worry. They worry about climate change. They worry about where they should buy something, where they should live, what's going to be a safe place in the future. And between the cost and then the concerns about our climate, it has to be part of the issue. The environment has to be a huge part of our discussions on affordability.
So with the election year in mind, what concrete steps can Michigan residents take right now to engage their lawmakers in these top-tier environmental concerns? What can they do?
You know, I'm going to tell you, when you write to your representatives and senators, federal and state, it makes a big difference. When I get a lot of letters in, if it's something I've been wondering about, it helps me feel what my constituents really want me to do. Now, obviously, I'm a real environmentalist, and I think my voting record shows that, but it makes a big difference still to know I'm supported by those when I take a hard vote. But also, like the data center vote was not an easy one to take, and with my caucus, you know, going mostly the other way. But in terms of the Republican legislators, who, because they have the power right now, writing to them makes a big difference, and saying what you're concerned about in terms of the environment and bills that might be coming their way.
We often talk about the polarization of our political lives in the United States of America, and there's quite a bit of evidence toward that end. I'm wondering, are these environmental concerns perhaps one of the bridges that can bring us together?
I like to think so. I mean, I am the only Democrat elected. I think there's one township supervisor, but I'm the only elected Democrat in Livingston County, and I know that I'm there in great part because I care about the environment, because it's a big issue. And even up in Howell right now, you're seeing they're having a problem about the data center there and concerned about the water and land use. So I really do think so. And when I look at my Republican counterparts and how much they care, you know, you might not be an avid hunter, but hunters do care a lot about the environment. And so do our recreational people who are boaters and fishermen. And I feel like there's a lot of movement that we could take to try to, you know, bring each other together. I've personally been working on a recreational group that brings together all the parks commissioners in Livingston and Washtenaw counties to connect our biking trails, like the Lakelands trails and the Border to Border trail. And they love getting together and discussing how we can, you know, environmentally work together more to have people out and enjoying, you know, the landscape, which is so beautiful here in Michigan.
Representative Conlon, thank you so much for the time and the perspective today, and a Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
That is 48th District State Representative Jennifer Conlin. The Ann Arbor Democrat is the first guest of 2026 on WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. My co-host for these monthly get-togethers is Lisa Wozniak. She's Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and I'll see you in February.
I look forward to it, David. Happy New Year.
I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM, Ypsilanti.